The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audio download and a free 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/radmetal. Over 150,000 titles to choose for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Do you have a heavy metal-related business? Do you promote concerts? Do you sell t-shirts, music, instruments, alternative lifestyle products? Then come advertise with us. Radioactive Metal is the perfect place to promote your business. Go to advertisecast.com/780 to see all of our advertising options.
Tonight's episode of Radioactive Metal is dedicated to the memory of AC/DC guitarist Malcolm Young. What's up, everyone? Welcome to a Full of Worms episode of Radioactive Metal. This is episode 482, and I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
I'm Corrine.
Hey, bro and bra, what's going on?
Well, I gotta say, we got a couple of sniffly bitches here today.
Who's a bitch?
Uh-oh.
Both of you.
Hey, wait, I'm no bitch.
You're the sniffly kind today, though.
I'll show you a sniffly kind.
Uh-oh.
Sounds like my co-hosts are a little under the weather, both of them.
No, I don't know.
I heard I'm you actually... sniffle earlier before we started recording.
Okay, no doubt, but I'm...
No doubt.
Yeah, I'm... that's spoken like a true Canadian, eh?
Hey!
No, this is going to be a great night. We're starting, you know, the evening off how I like to start evenings off, and then...
With your mom!
I'm hitting the live metal circuit tonight here in Winnipeg, so hey... It's going to be a good time, and I'm glad I'm starting it off with you guys. It's just, we've got a lot, well, maybe not so much to talk about, but we got not one, but two wicked creature features that I'm really eager to get into. But, you know, we got some other stuff going on. What's up with you guys so far?
Nothing much. I mean, as we speak right now, as you're listening to this, it's a week later, but Thanksgiving was a couple of days ago. So I had that going on. Went to Black Friday, but very limited. I just went to two stores, and I went at like 11:30 in the morning. So, you know, the crowds were all gone. So, yeah.
Raise
no fool. Yeah.
So. That's right. I made sure to hit Facebook to... you know, as the day progressed, I always made sure to hit Facebook just to see, to make sure that all of my American friends were declared safe on trampling day. Everyone kind of pulled through. That's good. That's mm-hmm. good.
What the Canadians fucking call it, trampling day?
That's 100% snowyism right there. But I have seen some memes come up on my Facebook timeline showing clips of the doors opening in Canada, mm-hmm. right, at Best Buy and all that. And people are walking in, single file, no one's stepping on anyone, everyone's smiling. The employees are standing there actually applauding people as they're coming through. And, you know, the headline says, you know, Black Friday in Canada.
Yeah, and that then, doesn't make any damn sense.
And then they switch... The next clip, same meme, the same clip, they switch to an American one, and there's 800 million people outside all trying to get in, trampling on each other. It's just, it's funny, but it's brutal. Mm-hmm. Like, and I can attest to this because I had to make my way out to get a couple Christmas presents for my daughter and all that. I had to make my way out, not as the mall opened, but a couple hours later, and it looked like it was just a usual day. Like, it really wasn't, you know, it really wasn't anything too bad. And I also, of course, I had to hit the record store in the same mall, and I grabbed, I managed to remember, we did a creature feature on a wicked hardcore band called Get the Shot earlier this year.
Yes, sir, from Montreal.
Yeah. I picked up the physical copy of their Infinite Punishment CD, and it is sounding quite good still.
I like Infinite Punishment.
Yeah, well. I have a feeling that your idea and everyone else's may differ. Yeah.
You know what? This just reminds me of something I heard. You know what we hated as a kid?
What?
Spanking and naps. Yeah. Do you know what we love as adults?
Spanking and naps, yeah.
Spanking and naps.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Some of that you pay good money for these days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know, but, you know.
Anything else going on?
We're not doing the metal fix yet, are we?
No, not really, but...
Hail to the Black Friday shoppers in America.
So,
unfortunately, sorry.
No, I was just gonna say, Kareen, you had a little thing on Facebook, right? That happened to you.
Oh, you guys want me to talk about that real quick? It's like,
yeah,
it's like a two minutes of your time. Okay, all right. Let me tell you what happened on Facebook. Besides the random shit that normally happens. I log in this morning, okay? And I had posted a lyric from a band called Suicidal Tendencies. The majority of you are going to understand that a band called Suicidal Tendencies actually exists. It is not from somebody who really wants to commit suicidal tendencies in their life.
Mm-hmm.
So I log in and I posted the lyric. It was like, they don't make no seatbelt for the mind. So sit down for this ride. I can't recall the whole lyric at this point.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Mm. So somebody fucking reported it to Facebook police. And I wake up. And I look at the very first thing that I see when I log into Facebook. It was like, Kareen, can we help you? No joke. It literally gives me 5 different things if I need help with suicide. It says, we understand that you may have some things going on in your life. And it lists a suicide hotline number. It lists the people I could talk to. It had all kinds of crazy things. And I was like, what the fuck is this? So I click on the view post because initially I didn't understand why I received that. It's somebody who I didn't block off from my Facebook because normally I have myself on private. And it was on private, but it was for, like, you know, family, friends, people who fucking know me.
Mm-hmm.
One of those motherfuckers reported me as having possible suicidal tendencies.
Well, is what happens.
I didn't want to say, but no, it's not me. Not me.
I think what it is like, I'm sure you've got just a bunch of normies on Facebook as well, and they just probably just don't understand, you know, that, like, this is a band and what you're trying to get across and all that, because, like, normies are stupid.
Well, it was the stupidest thing ever because, first off, if you know me, why the fuck would I put something in quotation marks and then do an address? It was in quotes. It wasn't like I didn't, you know, address it.
Yeah, you had the quote. Then under it, you wrote, you know, hyphen suicidal tendencies.
Exactly, yeah. And if you just clicked on the comments, it wouldn't have taken more than just like 2 seconds of your time. You would have known that we were talking about a band because it's the started discussion. And then next thing I know, some snowflake fucking reported it. saying that Facebook should check out my posts and that I was warned. And I was like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, yeah, and I know you posted about that. You say, "Hey, you know, come on, you know, these. Why would I come on Facebook and post this? You know me, devil's advocate. You know how I am. I always try to see both sides of the coin. I just somebody that saw that and said, because there are people that do that.
Yeah.
So they saw this. Like, oh my God, you know, is Corrine in trouble? Whatever, you know. So and then they just. Thought, hey, let me report this, but you know, it's kind of sad that they couldn't like message you directly and say, hey, are you okay?
I was just about to say that, man. The first thing I would have done was get on the horn with Corrine myself and say, hey, what's up?
You know. Yeah, right.
I don't think Zuckerberg needs to know Corrine's problems, like you know,
especially when there is no problem. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
And that made, like, to me, that made no logical sense, because if somebody truly cared about me, and I'm not saying that I don't have people who don't care about me, but if somebody was really that fucking concerned, fucking message me, for God's sakes. I have a certain audience. It's expanded to for a reason, because those people who I post things that like death metal stuff, they know that it's just shit I post, and for somebody to really believe that I had a problem, really, fucking come on! I've never had suicidal tendencies. Jesus Christ!
Except on your turntable.
Yeah. Not even on my damn turntable, because I don't own one of those.
In your CD player, oh, semantics. Come on.
That's right. Fucking retarded. Excuse me. We have become so numb as a society, guys, that we literally cannot approach people and ask them if they are okay. We literally have to fucking report it to the Facebook
police. No, it's just because it's so easy to do everything anonymously now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
They were like, oh, maybe it's not my business. Well, let me report it. Yeah, you know, it's because it's so easy to hide behind your computer screen. Yeah.
It is. So, it really is.
But on the other hand, it makes for good fodder on Radioactive Metal.
Yes.
Oh my God.
That's for sure. It's the perfect place to vent.
Yep.
Unfortunately, though, sorry, one of the things that we do have to kind of get to on this show is when we lose some of our own, and it kind of sucked when it came out that we lost the great Malcolm Young from Ice to Ice.
Yep.
As well, yeah, that was a stunner, you know. Like, okay, but it really shouldn't, okay, because you know, rock. We're at that age now where all of our quote unquote heroes are much older than us, and mm-hmm. you live the life, the rock and roll lifestyle. And I'm not saying that Young was a, you know, live fast, die young kind of guy, but there's a certain aspect to it. And yep. I guess it just kind of, you know, it takes years off your life. And unfortunately, we lost one of the all time greats. And it also sucks because just a couple months ago, George Young, mm-hmm. who, you know, isn't one of the famous brothers and all that, but he was actually their brother, the Young Brothers. His, you know, he was quite instrumental with the band kind of behind the scenes as a producer. And
yeah, and he's produced a bunch of other artists. Yeah.
So it has not been a good year in the Young family. And, of course, Radioactive Metal extends our condolences to the Young family for those losses. I know I'm an AC/DC fan. Mrs. White is a huge mark as well. We all appreciate the legend and respect the legend, and I'm sure we all have at least one, two, three songs that we all dig. But do you call your, do you guys call yourself AC/DC fan?
What is a fan, Snowy?
Like, you have more than three albums. Like, if someone says to you, hey, are you an AC/DC fan? What do you say?
I say I'm well diverse in AC/DC, so yes, I guess I could be a fan. Okay, I'm a huge metal fan.
Okay, cool, cool. When did you first discover AC/DC, Kareem? Like,
oh, Snowy. Oh my God. You really have to ask me that?
For our listeners, yeah.
Okay. So, look, I guess they would call it dad metal.
Sure, yeah. No, yeah. I get that. I get that.
Yeah, that's when I discovered it. Dad metal. With my dad, yeah.
So basically when you were just a youngling.
A yingling. Yingling-a-ling.
All right, you got a favorite song, album, and a favorite AC/DC moment that...
I love It's a Long Way. To the top when you want rock and roll.
Oh, really?
I love that song. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's an older one with Bon Scott.
I remember one of my best friends, Janelle, you guys know her. She started playing guitar because of AC/DC.
Oh, right on.
Yep.
Good on her. Shout out to Janelle.
Janelle's awesome. Oh, my God. I miss that bitch. And I can say that because...
Of course.
She's your bitch.
That's right. That's right. Love that girl. Right. Oh, my God.
Right on. What about you, dude? What about you with AC/DC?
You know, for me, I remember hearing AC/DC. AC/DC. around when Back in Black came out, but you know, I was heavily into Kiss at that point. You know, I started listening to music really heavily in 79, but I remember hearing AC/DC on the radio because my sister is much older than me, so she would have the radio on or whatever. But really, I got into AC/DC when a Flick of the Switch came out in 84. That's
right.
That's one of my albums. You know, I mm-hmm. absolutely love that album. A lot of people don't like it, but that was one of my favorites. I remember buying it as a cutout at Zellers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember Zellers.
yeah, and I remember Flick of the Switch, man. Nervous Shakedown. That was our jam back then.
How
many beers I drank to that song?
That's probably my least favorite song of the album, actually. Yeah, I have the CD in front of me right now. I think my favorite track on there is probably I love the song "Flick of the Switch." I mean, it's mm-hmm. I used to play it on guitar for fun, but "Rising Power" I think is my favorite. I absolutely love "Rising Power" because it's slow. You know that you see my doom roots. You know, it's a slow track. It's not doom, but it's a slow, super heavy track. You know. And but I have to say, probably my all-time favorite AC/DC song is "For Those About to Rock." Nothing beats that song for me. That's like numero uno. You know, stick a fork in it. I'm done. That's it. You know, because again, it's a slower track, and it picks up when the guitar solo, you know, gets in, and then the end they double time it. But most of the track is kind of slow and prodding and. You know, and real, real, real heavy. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love me some For Those About to Rock.
Yeah.
For sure. For sure. An all-time classic. Myself, AC/DC is actually one of those. Like, there's two different Snowies, shall we say. There's pre-full-time metal, mm-hmm. like about 84 when I went metal full-time. And then there's, like, before that when, you know, I was into all sorts of music and, you know, I never really gave one particular genre or style much more credence over the other. But AC/DC were one of those pre-metal hard rock bands that I got into, as you know, along with Def Leppard, Van Halen, mm-hmm. The Runaways, stuff like that I was fans of before I went full-time metal. And so I go back with them quite a bit. I remember the first AC/DC albums that, and I don't even remember the year anymore, but the first AC/DC albums that came into the house were I bought at a flea market. Plain old boring flea market that had a whole bunch of records for sale, and for like a buck each, I bought like Dirty Deeds, Dunder Cheap, Highway to Hell. Oh, shit. There was a couple others. I know there was a Runaways album in there as well. And that's kind of, yeah, they kind of predate, you know, me going metal full time. And as a matter of fact, this just kind of hit me. One of my oldest friends that I've known for almost 40 years, he won't mind me saying, you know, shout out to Mark Buell. I remember when we were, oh my God, maybe 10 years old, for one of my birthdays, he gave me a big, large AC/DC poster that went up on my wall for many, many years. And I still wasn't, you know, 100%, a couple albums maybe at that time. I still wasn't a huge fan and all that. But, hey, it was a present from my friend. And it went up on my wall. And it's just, that was always a big part of my memory from growing up. And one of the things I'll also, sorry?
I was just going to ask what was on the poster.
Oh, it was just the logo and a live shot of, you know, four of the five band members lined up in front of the stage. Now there's just a generic.
I think I had the same. I had a poster like that too. Was it like a rectangle, like wider than tall, or was it taller? Was it landscape?
No, it was rectangular.
So, no, but was it landscape? If you looked at it, was it wider than tall?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Okay. Because some posters were taller than, you know, they were portrait. But yeah. No. I think I may have had the same poster.
I wouldn't doubt it. And of course, one of my special memories I'll always have is my mother and I. The one and only time I ever saw AC/DC live about 4 or 5 years ago. You know, she took me to see them, and you know, unfortunately, we lost my mom this year and all that. Mm-hmm. So that's always going to be a special night.
Nice.
And all that. So, yeah. So that's kind of my AC/DC experience. And it's a band that was always there.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what was going on, whether it was grunge or whatever was going on in the world, AC/DC was always there. They were always doing their thing. And you always appreciated it. And they were the ultimate party band in the 80s as well. Like, that's, you know, at some point, no matter what you were doing, you know, no matter who you were with, whether it was cool people like metalheads or punks, or you were just hanging out with a bunch of dumb jocks or preps, at some point, someone was putting AC/DC on.
Yep.
You know, and what really got the party going for me was when my favorite song, Shoot the Thrill, came on, you know. And that was cruising music as well. When you were in the 80s, when you were tearing around in your Camaro, chances are, more often than not, it was AC/DC that you had on in your vehicle. That and Judas Priest. I don't know what it was. Yeah. Maybe it was my area, but... Definitely.
AC/DC, every time I play a song on my, you know, on my iPod or whatever, the sexual innuendos in the lyrics, oh my God. God, they were and they're not handsome men. They're not handsome men.
No, that's why they started a rock band.
And it's like, oh my God, yeah, like put the finger on you. You can feel it on your thigh. You can feel it on your knee. You know, oh my God, you know, stuff like that. And oh, Jesus Christ, you know, let me put my love into you, babe. I'm like, okay. All right. Why did you just say that's fuck? You know?
That's right.
But I guess you couldn't say stuff like that back in the day. You know, it wasn't until Guns N' Roses that people started using the F word in songs, really, you know.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah. That's always stood out. It's all the sexual.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let me
yeah.
Put my love into you, babe.
Particularly.
Yeah.
Particularly the song Big Balls.
Yeah. Well, that was funny track. That's what's meant to
be. Oh, yeah. Because it is about putting on a ball, like a get together. you know, a dance and all that. And they say it quite blatantly that that's what it's about. But of course, Middle America and all our moms got in. Oh my God. Oh my God. No, mom, what's going through your head, perv? You know, it's about, you know, it's about a ball, you know, ballroom dancing and all that.
So. Yeah. Dude, I'm not looking at other song titles here. Given the dog a bone, really? You know, it's like, wow. You know, and then another one here, let's get it up. Okay. Inject the venom. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, God. Oh, yeah. I absolutely love deep in the hole.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right.
They sure were deep in the hole, weren't they?
Oh. Yeah, I know. I was there.
Are you uncomfortable, Snowy?
No. I'm just, we've done our time, Mrs. White and I, at AC/DC music. No. But you know what? We got a couple really cool creature features that I want to get to here. Decibel Magazine, okay, on their website, you know, like the year is winding down and, you know, it's time to start thinking about the best of the top this was that, this, that, and another thing. Decibel put out their top 40 albums of 2017. Tonight's creature feature, we have not one, but two of these bands that made Decibel's top 40 with Full of Hell, with their number 8 album, and Canadian death thrash black metalers Worm Witch with their record. Wow. They kind of put them in at number 34.
Wow.
That was kind of surprising, and it was definitely good to see. But before we start to get into these, I was going through the whole list. Okay. And not only do we have these two creature features, but also making the list is Lockup with their latest record. Mm-hmm. We've had them on this year. Mm-hmm. Midnight, they made the list. Integrity made the list. And we just recently had Necrot on as well. Their Blood Offerings record was number 4.
Wow.
On their little list. So I would say Radioactive. Yeah. Radioactive Metals doing pretty good in the creature feature department. And we're going to get into an example of that. First off, out of the gate, last episode, we had Cattle Decapitation on.
Mm-hmm.
One of the support acts when they came through were, I don't know what you would call them. They're basically a grindcore band, but they really like to mix it up with various different other subgenres. They like to throw some of the electronics in there. Well, Full of Hell, great fucking band, were one of the support acts, and they were out supporting their Trumpeting Ecstasy record, and that gave us the great opportunity to sit down and have a chat with vocalist Dylan Walker, which this is actually a band that's been on my personal radar for a while, and they did come through town a couple times. Just for one reason or another, it just never happened, and I'd never even managed to catch them live, much less sit down with them. So when this opportunity came up, we made sure that we jumped all over it. So before we get to that wicked chat with Mr. Walker, as I said, they're Full of Hell album Trumpeting Ecstasy made Decibel's top 40 list at number 8. So to get us to with our chat with him, let's drop one of their tracks from said awesome record. This is Full of Hell. Society's a mess.
First and foremost, you're out on tour now supporting your latest record, Trumpeting Ecstasy. So far, so good. What's been the response for that record been so far?
I mean, from my perspective, I think it's been the most positive of all of our releases to date. So, I mean, it's been like a nice steady uphill, and this one was like a nice little jump, I felt. And it's the one we feel best about, too. So, yeah, it's been positive.
Oopsie-daisy. Yeah, I'm gonna have sorry. No, it's okay. We've a lot. This is all part of it. It's all atmosphere. But is it going to be like what is success with a record in this industry these days? Is it does it go by sales? Does it go by response? Like,
It's subjective.
It's tough. Yeah,
it's all subjective. It's in the eye of the beholder. So for our band, the success is like artistic fulfillment. So the most important part of the success was feeling good about what we had made and having like a complete piece of art come together the way we wanted it to come together. And then of course it's multi-layered. So after that, sure, we care about like reception from people. I think the actual sales are important, but for a band like us, we're never going to be like the hugest thing ever, or like even like top of like whatever our genre is. Like, I don't have aspirations to be like super big and successful. There's no fucking real money to be made.
If you were
playing this kind of music to make a lot of money, I think you're a fool. It's a little delusional. There's so many better ways to make money, probably, that are more comfortable.
Oh yeah.
So because the success it all depends on who you're talking to. For us, it's successful if we get to play with people we admire and make what we want to make.
Right.
So it was successful for us.
Yeah. So far, so good, for sure. With this interview, you're probably going to be exposing your band to a lot of different type of listeners. Like, we're predominantly a metal show, but more old schoolers. So maybe kind of, and we'll play the new record and all that, but maybe give our listeners kind of an advance of kind of what you would describe your sound as.
So Full of Hell sound, I think, has changed over the years. When we first started the band, we were obviously taking some cues from a lot of like the Swedish wave, like Entombed and Dismember and Carnage. That was like pretty early on, though. We had kind of a shared love for grindcore and noise and death metal overall in a greater level. So I think nowadays the sound is somewhere between, I think it sounds kind of like punk kids playing death metal. So it's like a little sloppier, maybe somewhere along the lines like of maybe like some Finnish sound like Dimmalik, maybe a little bit mixed with like Discordance Axis like grindcore. And maybe taking some cues from like early era Cryptopsy. And then blending a lot of electronics in. So we like really harsh electronic sounds. So it's kind of all over the place.
Right. It's that kind of, because you're out here on tour now with Cattle Decapitation and Revocation and Artificial Brain. The electronics and all, and all your different experimentations and all that kind of makes you sort of the black sheep in a good way on this tour.
A little bit, yeah. I think it's a good thing. It's funny because Cattle Decapitation, definitely. Travis has a history with noise and stuff too. So I think in a lot of ways we're kind of compatible with Cattle. But maybe if you're just a listener coming to one show and you don't know the history of the bands, maybe we seem a little out of place. But in my brain, it kind of makes sense because Artificial Brain is also an experimental type of band.
Yeah.
They might not have the extra electronic experimentation, but the noise could probably throw some people off, and it's maybe a little more barbaric sounding than the other bands.
Right.
But I don't know.
we'll, you know, definitely a night like tonight, time will tell. But with the name Full of Hell, and I was there when Venom's Welcome to Hell was released, okay? So when I see Full of Hell, I'm thinking obscure Venom-influenced black metal and all that, and that's, you might have bits and pieces of that, but when I think Full of Hell, I don't hear your band. Like, how did that moniker came about?
It's an Entombed song. Full of Hell is an Entombed song. We come up we've definitely come up equally in metal and punk, and in the punk and like more hardcore punk world, it's a normal thing to kind of have like a tribute name that's a reference to an influence. And the Swedish stuff's definitely been a big influence for us. So when Spencer formed the band, he chose to name it Full of Hell. And I mean, we have ties to black metal sonically, and we listen to a lot of black metal, but the name definitely did not come anywhere near like a black metal notion. It's just a tribute name to Entombed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, I was thinking maybe maybe it's how they see the world, maybe how the band sees the world, or something, a grander scheme than we're into fans.
The name obviously lends itself well to what we're doing nowadays, but it's pretty simple. It's a pretty simple origin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can remember it, and that helps as well.
I mean, it works for us. People find what they want to in the name anyway. Art is interpreted how people interpret it.
For sure. This is your first, and I got to watch the wording here, because it's like your first record not collaborating with another band for Profound Lore, right?
Definitely. And our first LP for years that wasn't like some kind of collaboration.
Right. How did you sign your deal with Profound Lore? Did they come to you? Do you know of them? Like, what happened?
I was a big fan. When I was growing up, I was a big fan of this eclectic label called Hydra Head Records.
Mm-hmm.
Hydra Head put out all different kinds of music, you know, harsh noise, grindcore, like post-hardcore, black metal, all kinds of stuff. That was my dream label. We always just wanted to put out a record on Hydra Head. Hydra Head folded by the time we were old enough to be doing this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Bruni, who runs Profound Lore, in my mind, really has kind of upheld the mantle and the high standard that I felt Hydra Head represented. He focuses way more on like black and death stuff, which is obviously sicker for me as an adult, you know, where my tastes have gone. So we always admired Profound Lore, and when we were thinking of a home for the collaboration with Merzbow, I thought it would be smart to have it come out with Chris.
Mm-hmm.
So we toured with Ken Mode and got the connection there, and I hit up Chris and showed him what we were doing, and it was pretty simple. And the deal with Profound Lore is simple, too. It's very straightforward. It wasn't like some kind of like crazy lawyer deal with like looking at little specific dividends and all this stuff. It's a very straightforward deal with one guy who happens to be really passionate about music, and we re-signed for like another record, which just did.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, it's truly low key. There's no crazy, I don't know, it's pretty DIY, I would say.
Yeah. That's kind of the way it should be. Everyone being in for the love of the music.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's a contract and everything, but it's really straightforward. It's just about the love of the music.
Right, for sure. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. Now, if you can maybe explain these collaborations as we're talking, because they're not split records like maybe the majority of our listeners would think of. Like, what exactly goes into them? You did one with Merzbow and another one with a band called Body.
Yep. So the difference between a split and a collaboration is pretty simple. A split would be two different sides, if on vinyl, or two different sections on a CD where each band contributes their own individual material.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a collaboration, we're trying to create one unified piece of music between all members involved. So with the Merzbow collaboration, that wasn't even our idea. Actually, neither collaboration came from us, actually. Because in my mind, with Full of Hell, I never thought, like, let's do collaborations. Like, it just kind of came naturally. So Merzbow suggested doing a collaboration opposed to a split. And basically, since he's in Japan, he sent us material to work with to make the record that we made. And then when we went again with The Body, who again had suggested this to us, all members were in one room recording a record and writing it together in the studio. So it started from nothing, and it was just, you know, we had some vague ideas in our heads, and we built songs together based on, like, you know, what both bands were into and what we both hoped to hear working with each other. The Body is an interesting band because the whole focus of their band, I think, really lends itself to collaboration. Like, they're crazy idea guys, and they're really good at building these interesting songs. And when you push a two-piece like that into a new format with, like, a band that sounds nothing like them or, like, a different sonic speed than them, the results are always, like, so strange and interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So the collaborations are really interesting because you kind of get, like, this crazy hybrid DNA of both bands.
Right.
Sometimes it sucks. Sometimes it's awesome. So,
so far, so good. Do you maybe have like a dream collaborator, someone that you would, I definitely would like to do this with this individual?
Oh, I'm sure there's a handful of people that I would not say no to. We would certainly collaborate with like Godflesh or,
right.
Or like Michael Jira maybe or Neurosis or something, you know. But I don't know. There's no plan to collaborate again. But we didn't have any plans to make collaborations in the first place.
Right. So, right. And so if it happens organically, great.
We did a second release with The Body, actually, that's coming out in like a month. Oh. In no way did I think we should do a second one, but they suggested it. And it turned out really cool. So the book's kind of open.
Right on, right on. Looking forward to it then. You're straight edge. I believe Spencer is straight edge as well. Like, do you have a hard time maintaining that lifestyle on the road? Like, are you exposed to some of this stuff when you're out and about? And
I mean, it's everywhere. The other two guys in the band definitely like to have a lot of fun, and I've never felt any kind of pressure or any kind of, it's not a fashion thing for me and Spencer. Maybe when we were like 16, it was like fun to like be like, we're straight edge all the time.
Put the X on your hand.
It's kind of like a secret edge, you know. It's just like a quiet lifestyle choice, and it's my preference. So there's no pressure because I feel comfortable being sober all the time. And yeah, everybody, we toured with Weed Eater.
You know, holy, I mean, shit, yeah.
And it was the best fucking time ever. And those guys were really respectful, you know. They weren't like pressuring us or anything. But like, you know, we hang out with people that get fucked up all the time, and it doesn't bother us. The only time it could possibly be annoying is if it somehow stood in the way of our schedule.
Right.
Then it's like, all right, now it's affecting what we're here to do. Mm-hmm. But as long as it doesn't affect that, then I don't fucking care. Mm-hmm. Everybody can get high and have fun. And we can do our own thing.
That's good. It's funny how you should mention Weed Eater, because I had them on the show earlier this year. They were here on 420.
Oh, boy.
Like, you could not time that better, you know?
I'm sure it made no difference to their proposed plans for the band anyway.
No.
I love those guys.
Oh, for sure.
What a great band.
For sure. So apart from this upcoming collaboration, and we'll let you get on with your day here, what's the next 365 days for Full of Hell?
To be honest, it's kind of foggy. We're planning a few different tours that aren't fully confirmed. We'll definitely just be recording and touring. Because, I mean, it's all we like to do. Like, you talked about success. Like, we're experiencing it right now. All we want to do is play shows and write music that we love. So we're getting to do it. You know, we're here now, I feel like. So that's the next year. It's just going to be more tours. Hopefully another record.
And another Winnipeg date.
Yeah, probably. You know, we had a fucking awesome time coming up here this time. It was actually crazy. So as long as it happens in the summer and not the winter. This is nice.
We eat that a lot.
This is fine, but last time we were up here was brutal. So
yeah,
in the warmth, we will be back. Yeah.
Perfect. If you're not tuned in to The Shining Wizards, listen to what some of our fans have to say about the show.
You guys suck. You suck, you suck, you suck. Suck.
Tune in live every Tuesday night, 7 p.m. East, rantvmradio.com. It's The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Definitely, well, not necessarily a pleasant surprise, shall we say, but definitely, we'll call it that. Vancouver's Worm Witch got discovered. They got picked up by Prosthetic Records, put out an amazing debut full-length record with Strike Mortal Soil, and then managed to hop on to the GWAR tour that recently came through town. They jerked the curtain. Let their presence be known, saying,
of course,
hey.
Of course, my mind goes together. No wrestling term, Corrine.
That's right.
You curtain jerker.
That's right.
Of course.
In other words, yeah, they were the first band on stage that jerked the curtain. And they let their presence be known and said, hey, you know, we may be a young band, but we're going to show you, you old timers here, exactly what's going on and the whys and wherefores behind all that. So I corralled bassist vocalist Robin Harris for a really cool chat. And as that was kind of winding down, their guitarist, Colby Hink, I kind of flagged him over when he walked in and said, hey, dude, you got to get in here. Give your 2.5 cents about what's going on with this amazing band. So without further ado, hey, good Canadian boys, eh, Rock?
Yes, sir.
This is our chat with the mighty Worm Witch.
First and foremost, I want to get into your debut record, Strike Mortal Coil. You're out right now touring, supporting that, supporting Black Dahlia Murder.
Yeah.
It's your
debut full length with Prosthetic.
Yeah.
Okay. How did that deal come about? Because that's pretty impressive, I gotta say. They're good friends of ours, and I'm so glad you guys signed on with them.
Yeah. I will correct you on one thing. It's Strike Mortal Soil.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
it's been going around, some people calling it Strike Mortal Coil. I don't really know, but it's Strike Mortal Soil.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But yeah, the deal came from we did a song.
it's all atmosphere.
All right. About it. We did a song. I think it was in 2015. Maybe it was late 2015. Called Coffin Birth.
Right.
And we had put out like a demo before that, but we didn't have enough money to do a record, so we were just like, let's do one song and spend a ton of money on it as if it was like a record, like put enough money or as much money into this one song as there would be in the grand scheme of things. So we did a big PR campaign for it and stuff like that, did a video. And I actually just found this out a couple nights ago when I was hanging out with Steve Joe from Prosthetic. He's their A&R guy. Mm-hmm. He actually saw it on a really small kind of underground metal blog called Dead Air at the Pulpit.
Okay. We have to check that out.
Yeah, they cover just like a lot of underground stuff. There's a cool little community on there. And yeah, he saw it on there and he just sent us an email. And from there, it was kind of this like, holy shit, I can't believe this guy is talking to us right now. it wasn't like set in stone right away. It was just sort of like, okay, the A&R guy from Prosthetic Records is like asking us all these crazy questions, like, why, like, what do you got? Are you guys planning on recording again soon? Like, would you be able to do like multiple North American tours a year? All this kind of stuff without offering a deal or anything. He's just asking, like, grilling us. And I guess we answer all the questions correctly. And then, he was like, okay, well, we want to work with you guys. And then they said, we were partway through writing an EP at the time. Okay. And he said, we want it to be a full length, so write a full length. And then they gave us the contract, and we wrote a full length, and that's starting. So
there it is. Yeah. Fantastic. You guys hail from Vancouver,
yeah,
I believe. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because, not that I'm a patriot and all that, but I'm a good Canadian boy too, eh?
Yeah.
Is there maybe that you've seen so far, like any sort of advantage to being on this side of the border at all? Is there, or is it a detriment?
Interesting. I most of what. For, like, in my very limited perspective and experience, it's like a lot of a disadvantage because touring is very, very difficult. Like, you can tour Canada, but it costs a lot and doesn't make you a lot of money. And so, like, the big thing is crossing the border, but that also costs a lot of money. So, until you get into a position where either someone is fronting the bill for visas and stuff like that, it's just like people are, you know, going across illegally and doing all this sketchy stuff, which I don't know. So that's like a huge disadvantage, but I do think that Canada, honestly, what I'm noticing mostly just from this tour is that as soon as we cross back into Canada, people are way more excited for us than they are down in the States. I think people are just a bit more excited about Canadian bands in Canada anyways, like, because they're just, I mean, there's a lot of Canadian bands, but I don't know. There's like a cool kind of support that you might not get in the States because there's so many people down there. It's like just a lot less people up here, so it's a bit more more of a community, I guess.
Yeah. kind of supporting our own. You're on this tour with a lot of American bands.
Yes.
And my co-hosts are American.
Okay.
I take some ridden for being a Canadian, Okay. Do you get that from some of these yahoos?
Yeah.
Do they? Yeah,
we're the Canadians.
right. on the and they know, they let you know about it. Yeah, eh?
Yeah. Well, actually, they're all American except for the drummer from Suffocation. He's from Ontario.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So we have some camaraderie with him, but otherwise, we're the Canadians. And actually, we've been like trying to screw with people. We at one point convinced a couple of the guys from Decrepit Birth, who are sadly not longer on the tour, but bummed. We convinced them that we call pizza up in Canada, we call pizza Hot Wheels. And that was
I'm a using good, that. Yeah. Every American that I talk to from now on, I'm using that.
Yeah, that was a good topic of discussion for a while. It's kind of how we broke the ice with a lot of the bands. Oh, no. But yeah.
Right on. Yeah. What made you want to do this? Any certain bands that made you say, oh, fuck, that's awesome. I got to do this.
Like pursue it professionally?
Yeah. Like, it's a kind of a cute way of saying, what are some of your influences? Just right. to toss you a softball.
It's kind of interesting. Sorry. There wasn't any specific thing that made me want to do it. I remember just kind of always wanting it. I can't remember a specific thing that made me want to play in a band or be on a stage or whatever. It was just like a fantasy up until I graduated from high school and like joined a band, and that was strange. But like pursuing it professionally was just kind of happenstance. Like I didn't go to school, and there's like a lot of reasons for why that happened, and I was bouncing around doing a bunch of different crap that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. But I always had been doing music, and so music was this one thing in my life that was constantly being built upon, and everything else was like, get a job, quit the job, get fired from the job, whatever. Mm-hmm. Move around different cities.
Been there, done that.
Right? But music was the one constant thing, and so after a while it just kind of outweighed everything else, and then I was like, well, if I'm gonna do this thing, I may as well just fucking do it. And then I started going on tour, booking our own tours, getting all my jobs, and it just kind of like snowballed into this thing, and now we're here. I don't know.
Right on. How much of a difference have you found, because you guys were kicking around as an unsigned band, and now you signed on to Prosthetic, which they're good friends of ours.
Yeah.
We'll take a bullet for Prosthetic. They're definitely great guys. How much of a difference, though, with the current, you know, industry, the way it is right now, how much of a difference is it between the two, being unsigned and signed?
I mean, I am by no means an expert, but...
No, I'm here to challenge you.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no free rides on radioactive metal.
So my opinion, take it with a grain of salt, but... I mean, being an underground band...
Sorry, continue.
Are we gonna?
Yeah, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but we are now joined. Sorry, I was elsewhere when you guys said, hey, Snowy, where the hell are you? I was talking to the Suffocation guys, so introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Colby, and I play guitar in Wormwich.
Hello. We were just talking about, being signed against unsigned, if it's a difference and all that, right. Like what you see as a difference. So sorry, continue.
So what I was going to say is there's definitely a lot of freedom, although like it depends on the label or the deal, right? Like we have pretty much free reign with Prosthetic. And there's the benefits far outweigh the costs kind of thing. Mm-hmm. In this case, I've heard horror stories of the opposite, but I mean, having been a DIY band or being in DIY bands for the majority of the time that I'm playing music, the main thing I notice is, mostly just less. It's hard to get a direction because there's no like big thing to keep latching on to. Mm-hmm. In the future that's coming that you can kind of build momentum up for. Yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
It's tough.
You don't have.
I mean, for a band in our position, I think you summed it up. But I think down the line, bands will stay unsigned for the purpose of money, right?
I mean, there's some cases where a band is just kind of naturally expanding, and signing would like hold them back because they already have this fan base that they've got by themselves, and so they're taking all the money from it, right?
Right.
Which will just help them expand faster. But if you don't have that to begin with, it's very hard to build that up without like a label support where they're like investing in you, literally, right? They gave us the money to record the full length that we didn't have. We couldn't have recorded a full length by ourselves. And, you know, printing physicals and all kinds of stuff, that is always like a huge hurdle for just kids trying to work and do a band and spend money on bills, and the band's like, yeah. So mostly money.
Yeah,
that's like the big thing. Yeah,
it seems that way. Well, like I said, Prosthetic, good friends of ours. I'm so glad you guys are signed with them. Stay with them. I hope it's a fantastic relationship.
Yeah,
they've been great to us so far.
It's awesome so far.
Yeah. Right on. You guys are now supporting your debut record with them, supporting Black Dahlia Murder and Suffocation on this bill. Now, they're veterans. I remember Suffocation 25 years ago, probably before you guys were born.
Just about.
Okay.
For him, anyway.
You're playing in front of Terrence Hobbs every night. Like, what are the butterflies? Are there any? Or, like, are you nervous to perform in front of these guys? Because you don't want to fuck up in front of a guy like that.
I do fuck up in front of a guy like that every night. And I don't know, I'm comfortable with where I'm at as a guitar player. I know that I make mistakes. And, you know, I'm young. I haven't been playing guitar as long as he has. I'm not scared to make the odd mistake, because they're really, really chill guys. You know, they don't sit on some high horse or anything.
Yeah,
we feel very comfortable around them.
I think, specifically with like Terrence Hobbs, it's like he's been around a lot, and he's like the most chill, wisest man ever. So like if you screw up in front of him, he's just gonna be like, like, that happens, man. It happens to all of us, kind of thing. You know, like he's not gonna be like suck.
For sure. Hey, for what I do, I just fucked up in front of him too. So and finally, looks like probably let you guys get on with your evening. Wormwitch. What the hell is a Wormwitch? Who thought of this? Like, I'm totally lost.
A witch that casts worms.
Is it just... who thought of that? What's the idea behind it? Is it a kick-ass name? It's a cool compound.
It's kind of a funny story. We were in another band, and just for fun, we thought we'd start a DB kind of crust punk band that have all the songs about like slaying dragons and being imprisoned in a dungeon.
Nice.
And we were gonna call that band Wormwitch. And we never really did anything with it. But then eventually we came to start this band, and we're like, we should just call it Wormwitch.
Because the name's pretty cool.
It's just a cool name. Because we figured that like any band with worm or witch in the name is a band we're gonna like.
Yeah. So probably a cool band.
Throw it together.
Makes sense. And finally, just say hi to someone. Anyone. Someone back home or...
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi, Dad.
There we go. Don't ever forget your parents.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
All right, rock and roll. We got through another episode of this fine show. Thank you so much for everyone and for coming out and stepping up and having a grand old time. I want to get the fuck out of here now because I'm about to hit the Winnipeg Metal nightlife here.
Shit, that's it.
Have a grand old. What do you mean?
Oh my God, we're done.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's it. What more do you want?
It was a quickie tonight.
We had two.
It wasn't satisfying enough, Rock.
Yeah, Rock, don't say quickie in front of a girl. Come on, dude. Rock.
It was a dirty deed done dirt cheap.
There we go. That's what I want to hear.
I don't think it was a dirty deed. I think it was done dirt cheap. I want my money back, damn it.
Okay. How can people get a hold of us here? What's going on with that?
What?
Sorry?
What?
Oh. I know how people can get a hold of me.
Okay, go ahead.
You could call me anytime. 362. Sorry, I really fucked that one up because I really, really wanted to like say it without laughing, but no.
It's Saturday night. It's Saturday night. That's all we want to do is laugh. How can people get a hold of us?
Oh, Karina, I thought you were going to give out your Twitter and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can tweet the twat at Metal Chicks Rock. All one word. Tweet me. I will tweet your twat back.
Right on.
Now that there's now 258 characters you can do. You can also find us on facebook.com/, what is it, Radioactive Metal?
No, it's rad metal.
Oh, excuse me.
Yeah, this is why I let Rock take care of this part.
Hey!
he's got it down. I'm still kind of...
And so, then the rest of you have contact information.
Right.
All right, facebook.com/radmetal. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's radmetal666. And I just recently changed our Instagram also to radmetal666. I was able to get it much easier. I'm trying to make everything all as similar as possible, you know, so it's easier for people to find us. So yeah, mm-hmm. So Facebook Rad Metal and Twitter and Instagram Rad Metal 666. That's where you find us.
Right on. And of course, Radioactive Metal is a proud member of the Shining Wizards Network. You know,
yes, those sexy ass motherfuckers.
ShiningWizards.com. There's a whole whack of really good shows on there. You know, that cover the whole gamut, lots of pro wrestling, some lifestyle, some pop culture. Just go there, check out all of these shows. They're all really cool guys. We have t-shirts available.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, just go to the website, set Rock up with some cash, and he will send you a t-shirt. And
what's that?
If you buy a t-shirt,
yeah,
Corrine and I will call you personally and thank you for your contribution. And
now, please, guys, remember, no phone sex with Corrine, but Snowy's okay with it.
That's right, for sure. for sure.
Look, and they don't know what hurt them.
And we want to make sure that everyone also do us a large and go on to iTunes, rate and review us. Of course, this is a 5-star show, so we would expect nothing but a 5-star review, because that really helps not only us out, but all the fine folks at the Shining Wizards as well. It's all a good thing. So we would appreciate it if you did that. And in the meantime and in between time, just keep on keeping on.
Keep the metal flowing.
That's
true. Keep it flowing like a menstrual flow.
Okay.
On that note,
yes. We want to pay tribute to Malcolm Young, who, of course, as we mentioned, we just lost. And in case anyone's wondering, I'm already hearing some people like, well, you know, he passed away 2 weeks ago. What's taking so long? He passed away just as we finished recording our last episode, and it's just a matter of it's just bad timing. But the important thing is we're paying tribute to the man now in the best way possible, with Lemmy and Jakey Lee doing a remake of It's a Long Way to the Top. if you want to rock and roll. I'm Snowy White.
This is Rock.
And I'm Corrine.
Signing off.
At radioactivemetal.org or go to iTunes for past episodes and write a review. Listen to us live every Thursday night on purerockradio.net. You can also listen to us on Stitcher.com, TuneIn.com, Google Play, and all other podcast aggregators. You can purchase the music featured in this episode by going to radioactivemetal.org and clicking on the episode link. Leave us a voicemail. We want to hear from you. Call 321-80-HEAVY or 321-804-3289. We may even play it on the show. Email us at radmetal666@gmail.com. with suggestions or for indie spotlight submissions. Follow us at facebook.com/radmetal, twitter.com/radmetal666 and instagram.com/radioactivemetal. This has been a presentation of Radioactive Metal. It's not metal unless it's radioactive metal.